time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber, the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill and Cranny Self Storage in Danvers. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro here. How's it going, everybody? Well, the winter season is over. One final game. Merrimack Valley had one team left in the basketball and hockey state title weekend of last weekend. It was Tewksbury, the number one seed in Division II, and they couldn't finish the deal. Man, those Redmen came so close. Number one seed, they lose 4-2 to Boston Latin in the nightcap of that great day at the Garden on Sunday, March 17th, St. Paddy's Day. They had no luck. Too bad. Tewksbury was going for another state title under Derek Doherty, and they end up losing to a league opponent. Third time they played him, they beat him handily in the regular season. But you guys listened to Derek Doherty last week on this show. He said Boston Latin was up and coming, and they were peaking at the right time. This was a team that was surging, and they won 4-2, fair and square. Tewksbury's going nowhere. We know they'll be back. But so we're going to shift north a little bit. We're going to do our seasonal New Hampshire sports roundup, as we do with every at the conclusion of every New Hampshire season. We talked to Tom King of the Nashua Telegraph, and he is coming up after the break.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps, and burgers. Specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Dom Nicastro back at it, one and only guest, seasonal, quarterly guest. Actually, yeah, quarterly. Tom King, Nashua Telegraph sports writer. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, how are you, Dom? This is my favorite time of year. In between the winter and spring seasons. And it's even more favorite because I look outside and there's no snow on the ground. And guess what starts today as we record this? Is today is the first day of spring practice. So guess who'll be trudging out there with a winter coat on, taking a couple of photos of kids flinging the lacrosse ball around.
Those are the easy Monday March features, right? Like you just get the kids and talk about expectations, just a general spring preview.
Yeah, except the easiest March feature is sitting home and not doing it at all. So
yeah, I do love in between too. I love the March because it gives you a chance. It's a different busy. You have to really work to get the stories. The stories don't come to you in the month of March.
Right.
You know, but it opens the door for the more interesting stories, I think, you know, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Definitely. No doubt about it. You get a little lead time. You get a little downtime. You can review the whole bit. But when you take a look at the spring, last night I was going through all the some of the schools and the coaches. I mean, you know, like 8 to 9 new coaches all around the area. You know, it's this. You know, for softball and baseball and lacrosse, and that's stuff that you really don't even keep track of because the winter season is so busy. Of course, in Massachusetts, the winter season just ended, you know, this past weekend. So that was with a I don't know how many state championship games. So yeah. ours ended about a week ago. So this is week two of the in between for me.
Yeah, Massachusetts is ahead on school vacation. They're behind on state title games, New Hampshire.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So what's the highlights for the winter season in your area, teams that you cover?
Well, the highlight is really one major highlight, and that was Nashua North boys basketball making it to the Division I state championship game against Pinkerton Academy. And it's the first time in 20 years that a national boys or girls high school public high school basketball team was in the finals. That was the girls for the one Nashua team when that before the split in 2004 in the winter of 2004.
Wow.
It's the first boys tournament to be in the finals since 2002 when the one Nashua team made it. And it's definitely the first basketball team of either gender since the big split, which began in the year of when the schools split and were North and South, beginning in the 2004-2005 school year. So get all that data together, and all it says, Dom, is it's been a heck of a long time since the national team was in the finals.
Yeah, 20 years the course of 3 decades, and they finally got there. So what happened in the big game?
Well, in the big game, it looked for a while like Nashua North might do it. They were down 23-10 early. They rallied to take a 43-38 lead at halftime against Pinkerton Academy. Now, if you know Pinkerton Academy, they have got the 6'9", 6'9" horse, Brandon Marshall. He's just unbelievable. Just a basket waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for North, they just could not keep up with him as time went down. And he ended up with, I think, 34 points. North hit a big three. His name is Jackson Marshall. North hit a big three with, I'd say, about 3 minutes gone into the third quarter, made it 50-42 North. The whole place erupts. On the north side, it was at University of New Hampshire's Lundholm Gym, which seats about 3,000.
Yeah.
Everybody was going crazy. It looked like North could do what they did in the semis, which was pull away over the third and fourth quarter to beat Bedford to make it to the finals. But yeah. Pinkerton was too strong. They went on a 13-0 run right after that and just pulled away, and the final score was 90-76. Pinkerton set a Division I scoring record for the finals. They set a D1 scoring record for the tournament in the quarterfinals, beating Nashua South 101-83. This team was full of talent. Their MO, Dom, was basically, we'll play defense when we really have to, but we're going to outscore the heck out of you. And they did just that.
And I'm looking at pictures of Jackson Marshall. He is a big boy, I will tell you that.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just has the height, but he's got some width to him too.
I always say he's a result of a science experiment. You know, he's just that big and that strong. You don't see kids like that around here at all. He is going to be, but actually basketball is not his number one sport. Baseball is.
Really? Okay.
Yes. And I'm not quite sure where he's going or if he's even committed yet. He may wait for the highest bidder.
I see a photo. He looks like he's eating the foot of a Nashua North kid in one of these photos here. They're on the ground struggling.
He's just a fantastic. He was a fantastic player. He's a good kid from what I understand, you know, very composed on the court because he gets hacked all the time, as you would expect.
Yeah.
They try to push him around. They do everything to try to disrupt him. And he doesn't lose his temper at all. He just goes with it and does a great job of it. And, kudos to North, because Steve Lane is one of the best coaches in the state, maybe the best coach in the state. The story with North, that made it such a great story was they were 4-4 back in mid-January. They had lost 4 games in a row. They were reeling. And then I was at the last game that they had lost previous to the final. They lost to Keene at home by a point, 55-54. Certainly looked like they were just lost, trying to figure things out. Their next game was going to be against a rival, Nashua South, which had beaten them 3 weeks earlier in a Christmas tournament. Didn't look good. They went on a 13-game winning streak.
Whoa. Whoa.
And didn't lose again until they lost in the finals.
Wow.
So great job by Steve Lane. Great job by the North team. They really pulled together and very tough defensively. That's why it was so surprising that they had given up the 90 points in the championship game, but that's what Pinkerton does to teams.
Yeah. And it looks like Jackson was 14 points in the first half. So North did a good job, it seems like, on him. But then he exploded in the second half.
Yeah, I think that what Pinkerton did is, and they keep doing this all the time, Jackson floats to the outside, right? So he's a good outside shooter. He's a good 3-point shooter. I mean, college would just love him. They would just eat him up. I mean, they would just coaches should be eating him up because he's a big guy who can shoot the three. However, where he can do his most damage to a team is down low because no one can match up with him.
Yeah.
So that's basically what happened toward down the stretch of this game. And Pinkerton, just had him outside, but then they moved him down low. And talking to Mike Dunham after the game, he said, yeah, we made a concerted effort to do that. They did that in the South quarterfinal too. That was a close game at halftime. And then they pulled away because they put him down low. How you don't do that from the start, I don't know. I think they're defensively, he's never down there unless he really needs to be. Because think about it. If he goes down low, what's going to happen? He may block a lot of shots, but he's probably going to foul out before you know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they float him to the outside defensively.
Yeah.
But down low and offensively, he can just do a lot of damage as long as he doesn't get called for any offensive fouls.
Yeah. Nashua North have a healthy mix coming back.
They lose the 30-point scorer in the finals, Jaden Pena. They lose him, their point guard, as a graduate. The other four kids are eligible to return, but this is the time of year where you start hearing a couple of prep school rumblings. So they may lose one of those kids to prep school from what I understand or what I hear, but we're not sure yet. I mean, it's so early in the process. Who knows? So, I mean, one of their starters they gained is a transfer from Nashua South, Alize Roy Cortez. He'd be their point guard heir apparent. Played off guard this year. He's a good player. He hit back-to-back threes to put them up by 5 at the end of the half. In the finals. So, long way to go before we get to next year. Let's take it one season at a time, right?
Who knows?
That's the thing. That was boys basketball. Girls basketball was a down year locally. We didn't have anybody go beyond a quarterfinal. Okay. Bishop Gurdon, usually strong. Obviously a dynasty. Their coach, Brad Creek, had resigned at the end of last year. A couple of players went prep, and they had a completely new team, completely new coach. Olivia Orlando, a former Providence College player. So it was basically baptism by fire. They finished 8-10, I believe, made the tournament and had a 21-8 lead over Salem in the first quarter and ended up losing by 11, 55-44. They did what most young teams do, Dom. They took a big lead, then all of a sudden the other team started coming back and they got tentative and completely fell out of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it happened. So they're building.
Yeah.
And that's it. So hockey wasn't in no noise there.
Hockey, we did have one. Hockey is a little different. We had one semi, and I call them semi-local in the final, and I'll get to that in a second. We had one team, Bishop Curtin, usually strong. They were in the quarterfinals in Division One. They got upset, not upset, but they lost. They were in a 4-5 seed battle. They were the 4 seed. They lost to Hanover 5-2. They had 15 new players on their team, all of whom played regularly. First tournament experience. So, you know, they were a 4 seed, made it to the quarters. They were happy with this season, but they would have liked to have gone on. But they ended up losing. Division two, Merrimack, New Hampshire, Merrimack High School was the number 1 seed going into the tournament. It's only an 8-team tournament for Division II because of the number of teams. They lost in the quarterfinals. Actually, it's a 9-team tournament. It was one play-in game. They lost in the quarterfinals to the winner of that play-in game, Spalding, by a score of, I forget it. It was a 1-goal game, and it went into overtime, I believe. And they actually double overtime, I think. And they lost... And one of the reasons they lost, their top scorer, his name is Elliot Medlock. He was disqualified for the final 2.5-3 weeks of the season because he took his second DQ in a hockey game. Once you're out twice, you're done. And he may be done for the year in another sport. He plays baseball. I don't know if he'll be able to play or not. So with that firepower gone, they didn't have what it took to outscore the other teams, which is what they had done all year long. They had been pretty good scoring wise. They have a real good player in Connor Dunn, who was named the player of the year in Division Two. He's a defenseman, an offensive type defenseman. You put him with Medlock, it would have been a pretty good tandem in the playoffs. I think they would have won the championship, but unfortunately they didn't get past the first round, get past the quarterfinals. Alvern, Milford, a co-op team. We have a lot of co-op teams in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
You know, where they merge the schools, merge the teams. Yeah. So we have one Alvern, Milford, they lost in the semifinals. So that was it for them. And that was the furthest they had ever gone. So we did have one hockey team reach the semis. We had one semi, I call them semi-local because they are a co-op team, but they are the other end of the co-op, the smaller end. They weren't the dominant, they weren't the lead school in the co-op. Campbell High School in Litchfield, they provided about a half dozen players to Pembroke Academy, which is up north of Concord. So I didn't really cover them all that much, just a little bit. Never really covered their games, took a little bit of information here and there when I could get it. They were down only to about 2 or 3 guys that played regularly from that school. Yeah. They went to the finals against Berlin Gorham, and Berlin went through an undefeated season and beat them 2-0 in the finals.
Yeah. So see that
was
yeah.
That was it for hockey. So
yeah. Yeah.
It was kind of a lean hockey season. We had Nashville North South Eagan had a real good team. I thought real good team. Then they kind of went into a little bit of a slump, recovered, but lost a heartbreaker in the next to last regular season game that knocked them out of a three-way. They were in a three-way tie for the last tournament spot and didn't win the tiebreaker. So we had only one team in Division One, two teams in Division Two, two in Division Three, and one team make the finals, and that was it. So.
Yeah. Any winter New Hampshire dynasties that continued on that we're going to see like a Apple TV series documentary on later?
Another one of those dynasties.
See Bedford girls. You
know, I'll tell you what. Do you know this? Here's the story of the winter in New Hampshire. Really should be the story of the winter. And it's got some local flavor to it. And I wrote a column about this team in January. And they went on to win a championship. Concord Christian Academy. Now, let me go through the history. They won a Division IV championship 2 years ago.
Yeah. Which sport now are we talking?
Girls basketball.
Gotcha. Okay.
Girls basketball. Concord Christian Academy. Won a Division IV championship, I believe, either 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was 2. Last year, they win a Division III championship. They moved up.
Mm-hmm.
This year, at the start of the winter, it was learned that Manchester West, close to where you are, right?
Yeah.
They co-opted with Manchester Central for girls basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a late move. So their schedule was, teams would have been forced to play one less game. Concord Christian said, wait a second, we'll move up to Division II and we'll play that schedule.
Huh.
Division II coaches were furious because it's a private school and they have some talented kids. And wouldn't you know it, they didn't go undefeated, but they went right through and they won the state championship. So they have won three consecutive state girls basketball titles in 3 different divisions.
Wow.
And here's the kicker. They're starting 5 all from my area.
Oh. Nashua kids or area kids.
2 Nashua kids and 3 Hudson kids.
Oh, right there. Yeah.
So, and the coach is from Hudson. So,
and they beat Pembroke in the finals.
Yes. Yeah. And they Pembroke wasn't the team they thought they'd be playing. They thought they'd be playing Laconia.
Yeah. Pembroke beat them 44-35.
Yeah. I had one look with 8 kids, 8 players on the roster, So, guess what? Guess where they're going to be next year? Division I.
Are they moving up to 1?
Up to 1.
So you must have covered that game, the final, or
first of all, the game was at 10 a.m. Right?
Oh, okay.
So that kind of knocked me out of there because I'm up late the night before putting together a section. But at the same time, they're local kids, but they're not representing a local school.
Yeah.
So a few paragraphs was, I did do a few paragraphs and a whole bit, but when I did a championship roundup and led with them, but at the same time, we really, we don't cover them. I didn't cover them because they're just not locally based. So
yeah, exactly. You can if you're fed things, you can put that in.
Right. But yeah. to use resources toward it would be a little, now it's when they play. They came down. They played Bishop Girton twice. You can play cross division games, interdivision games. They played Bishop Girton twice. They beat them in a close game here in Nashville, and they blew them out in Concord. So I did see them play, and I did do a story on them. When I was there and talked to the head coach. That's how I found out all the kids were local kids.
That's one of those things where you say, okay. Now, if we get these Concord girls, it's never going to happen because kids go to different schools. But get these two Nashua girls from Concord, you get the South and the North. That's a hell of a Nashua team.
Oh, it would have been. And, look, that's Nashua dominated the girls basketball landscape back in the 80s, 90s and early 2000s.
When they didn't split, when they were just the one.
Split, they had one school. Bishop Girton was basically, had just gone co-ed in the early 90s, so they weren't really developed in terms of their female sports just yet.
Wow.
So, that was the Nashua time. The reason why all this happened is basically COVID, because the kids were looking, and the coach, who's the mother of two of the girls, she, you know, they wanted a private school, because during COVID, private schools were having in-class learning, a lot of them, where the public schools weren't. They were doing the remote, like we're doing now, right? The remote, you know, Zoom or, you know, whatever, for yeah. classes. So they wanted the in-school learning. So some of the private schools were kind of, you know, went back a little sooner than some of the public schools. And that's why. And they found that Concord Christian would be suiting them. So they went up there. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't know whether or not that led to other kids going, but, you know, five locals in that lineup. So
do we think that Concord Christian can compete with the likes of a Bedford? Because Bedford rolled through the Division I girls basketball state tournament, it looks like.
Right. Bedford had a big kid, Diana McCarthy, who was basically a dominant player. And this was Bedford's year. You knew it. You knew they were going to be stacked. You knew without Bishop Gurdon having what they had in past years, it was going to be a little bit better for them. They knew that there were a couple of teams that could give them a hard time, Pinkerton or Portsmouth. And they just barely got by Portsmouth during the regular season and then blew out Pinkerton during the regular season and then blew both out in the tournament. Well, they blew Pinkerton completely out in the tournament. Pinkerton had a lead the third quarter in that game, in that final game. So it was a competitive basketball game in the final.
Well, they just pulled away at the end, yeah.
Yeah, they pulled away at the end, right. So Pinkerton had about a 5 or 6 point lead in that third quarter.
Wow.
So, yeah, and you're talking about a Bedford team that had a lead in a sizable 7 or 8 point lead 2 years in a row in the fourth quarter against Bishop Gurdon and ended up losing both years. So they were poised to really, this was their shot. So what they've got coming back next year, I'm not sure. They won't have McCarthy, which is a big deal. They should still be strong. I mean, I think they're always going to have good girls basketball teams there. So we'll wait and see how all that shakes out. But I think in D1, you may need a little bit more depth. So yeah. how deep are they going to be? I don't know about. I didn't even look at the years for some of these kids. So we'll have to find out.
Tom, what, I mean, I'm a new, 2 year resident of Manchester, New Hampshire. When am I going to get any great Manchester sports news?
Manchester,
what was it? The last big news was what? The Little League kids, the Hookset slash Manchester kids that went to the Williamsport.
They're really down athletically, Dom. COVID really, really hurt the city, I think, a little bit in terms of, participation. When you have a public school like West, who, probably didn't have as many kids as Central Memorial, but then even less kids when Bedford became a school back, 15, 20 years ago, that limits that brings the enrollment right down.
Yeah.
More co-op teams, all of that. I mean, there's a lot going on there that, I mean, in hockey, they merged all three public schools.
Yeah.
For one hockey team. So there's a lot there. I think that there's, they had to do it for, I believe, baseball and softball last year and probably again this year in this, for spring.
Yeah.
It's just the participation level is just not there.
Yeah. Yeah. It is what it is. There's a lot of schools too. Does Trinity play in the public's ranks?
They're in Division One. Yep. Okay. They're in Division One for some sports, smaller divisions for others.
Okay.
In football, they were in Division Three and they are moving up to two this year. Okay. So next year they'll be in division. They'll be a Division Two school.
Yeah.
In Division One, I believe in baseball, they're Division One. Basketball, they were a semifinalist in Division One. Their head coach, Ray Farmer, former Nashville player, Nashville North, and also former Daniel, the now closed Daniel Webster College star. He was a star. Okay. Yeah, he was a good, great player for them. He was a head basketball coach this year at Trinity. So they made it to, basketball, you can compete in a larger division. They have they had enough kids, and they've been Division I all along. They've never moved down to 2 in basketball. Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, it depends. You got to look at the sport to see where they always are. So, you know, it's interesting. You know, I really, you know, the co-op situation solves some problems, but it also creates others.
Yeah.
I think, you know, lack of school identity, things like that. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens in Manchester. But yeah, you're right though. Manchester way down athletically over the last few years.
I'm going to walk around town and give them my ideas.
Start recruiting, Tom. That's it.
Baseball's my thing, Tom. So that's what I know. That's what I actually know. I mean, I write about all the sports, but I know baseball. So I can go right up Memorial. It's like a half a mile walk for me. And yep. I'm going to say, listen, I'm going to turn this baseball program around right now.
Yeah, they've been good in past years. Not so much recently, but yeah, you're right. You know, and they've got a good facility too. They've got some good facilities. They got fields. They got a turf field all bit.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Tom King, Nashville Telegraph. I'll spend the last 8 minutes because that's what my free Zoom app is telling me. on the spring. I know it's like we're talking at the time where it's like literally hasn't started yet. It started in like 2 hours, but with the first day of tryouts. But what are you excited about for spring in your neck of the woods?
Oh boy, that's. I got to stop and think about it because,
lacrosse, right?
Yeah, lacrosse is the sport. I'm curious to see if the Bishop Gritton girls can get back to a championship game. They didn't make it last year. They lost in the Did they lose in the semis? Yeah, I believe they lost in the semis.
I had the Gritton girls on a couple years ago, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, they were you know, they had won 2 or 3. Yeah, they had won a couple years in a row. They were really good. But of course they're, you know, a couple of really good players, you know, graduated, and you know, one of them went to Stanford. I mean, they lost their talent, but they've got talent coming back. So that may be one of the practices I hit today. If they're at Stello Stadium later, you know, on the first day of practice, I'll go over there and see who's there and everything else. Public school lacrosse is down, I think. It's been down in the city for a couple of years, although Nashua South did make it to the semis last year. Mm. Can they do it again this year? I'll have to see. In girls. Mm-hmm. In boys, Bishop Gritton's a dynasty. They've won almost every year. Since Pinkerton took a little bit of a step back, even though they were a finalist last year, the Astros were in Division I. So, you know, Gritton is a school you always look at. But their fun games aren't the in-state games. They're the out-of-state games when they play the Massachusetts Powers. Yeah. Those are the Gritton games you want to go to. So we'll look at that. And just, you know, Hollis Brookline always has good teams. They've got a 2-time defending baseball champion. I've got to look and see what they've got coming back, whether they can have a chance at a three-peat. you know, so that'll be interesting to see. So there's some things to get excited about in the spring. We'll have to wait and see how it all shakes out.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see. But a lot of new coaches, none of the major sports, really. Al Vernon's got 2 new coaches, baseball and softball. But that's Merrimack. So there's some new softball coaches around. Softball's really hasn't had just hasn't been as strong as it had been maybe 6-7 years ago in the area. Mm. It's down in Nashville. It's been down in Nashville for a few years. So Bishop Gritton had a champion a few years ago, but they haven't been there in a while. Hollis Brookline had a good team last year, but they didn't get as far as they thought they would in the tournament, maybe I think the semifinals. Campbell High School in Litchfield has a good softball program. They're usually there, but they were out the last year in the quarters, I believe. Mm. So we'll see how things shake out in softball to see how far some of the local teams go.
Yeah.
So, you know, locally baseball, I think Bishop Gritton could be a team to look at. They've had some young pitching for a while in baseball. I think that they probably they have just stumbled in the tournament, you know, and it's tough in a single elimination tournament, right? Yeah, especially in baseball, because you run into a hot pitcher with the other team, or you just don't get that big hit when you need it, things like that. In baseball, I think, is always a, you know, for to judge a team, you always really should have multiple games, but you can't do that in high school time wise. So you know, the single elimination tournament is the way it is, and
yeah,
we'll see if they can get there. I think if they have enough pitching, they could be a Final Four team. They could be a semifinalist. I think they'd like to get past that hurdle, and get there.
Is there a pitch count?
Yeah, there is. I forget what it is, but there's a pitch count rule. In fact, what the coaches have to do after every game is exchange pitch count numbers.
Right. So, you know, the days of rest and
all of that. So each of the opposing coaches always have to exchange those numbers after every game.
That's tough, because if you want to have a closer throw more than 20, for instance, you know, he's got to sit a day. You might be playing the next day. You got to make all these decisions. It changes the game.
Yeah, usually the way it works schedule-wise here is usually a Monday, Wednesday, Friday deal with a few variations. And, of course, then what happens is you get rainouts galore, and then everything gets scheduled, and some teams end up going to that last week having to play four games or so. And that's always tough.
But it's on the coaches to build the pitching depth.
That's it. You know, they got to build the depth. And I talked to the National South coach yesterday, but he's down. Numbers are down a little bit, but he graduated most of his seniors last year. He had a two-year class that he was looking at. 2 years ago, they got upset in the quarterfinals, and last year they almost pulled an upset of Bedford in the quarterfinals, but lost. So it's that's the way it is right now. It just doesn't seem like anybody's really head and shoulders in the area looking at any kind of real success story, except maybe Hollis Brookline. Just have to see what they've got this year after winning two championships.
We will let them play, Tom, and then we will talk about it in 3 months.
Yeah, they play, we go. They play, we write, we talk. Right, Tom? That's how it works, you know?
And we'll be talking in mid-June. We'll have you back here on the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, and, you know, we'll have a spring recap, and then before you know it, dissecting those Silver Knights before you know
I know. Well, hey, I got to call the GM today or tomorrow to set up a little interview to do the little look at their roster, what they've got right now.
Yeah.
And see how it translates into May, because the season starts in almost 2 months.
Okay.
So that's when their season starts.
They come at a perfect time where the high school kids go away, and then you need something to fill the pages.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yep, absolutely perfect. So then
we're looking forward to Tom King's Gerard Mayo features in the summer. We'll see some of those.
Oh God! Who's the running back they just signed? Antonio Gibson. Yeah, he's doing a WebEx interview today at 2:30, I think.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, they're going to start making players available. Some of their new guys are available, but they always you can always get those after the fact. So that's what I'll probably do. So.
Yep. Tom King, Nashville Telegraph. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk soon, buddy.
Anytime, Tom. Take it easy.
All right. Have a good one. We'll see
you. You too.
Yep. Bye now.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Sylvan Street Grill.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All right, that was Tom King, National Telegraph. We thank him for coming on with his thorough North Shore sports report for the season. We'll talk to him probably in June to wrap up the Granite State spring season and talk about what's going on in the summer in his neck of the woods and anything cool happening sports-wise in the summer in New Hampshire. All right, well, the final Merrimack Valley sports report is here, and it's going to be focused on Tewksbury and their loss. They led Boston Latin 2-1 heading into the third period, but just couldn't hold serve. Boston Latin, three goals for that 4-2 win. Three unanswered goals, 2 minutes and 55 seconds they scored those goals. Heartbreaking. Just what a swing. William Cunniff, Aiden Fitzpatrick, and Matt Carrara end up stunning the Redmen. And I'm citing this HNIBnews.com, Hockey Night in Boston, by the way. They were behind. Tewksbury took a 2-0 lead. It looked good. It really looked good. But that was it. They tied the game at 2 at 10:05 of the third, and then they had those extra two goals that just did it. And they ended up winning. They had a great run. They knocked off all higher seeds, Bill Ricca, Concord Carlisle, Duxbury, and then Tewksbury. So Frank Woods is the coach for them, and congrats to them. Boston Latin's first state title since 2005. But Tewksbury, they came out so red hot, like the uniforms. They peppered Wolfpack goalie Oliver Murphy, 3-1 of the first. Senior captain Matt Cook put Redmond on the board, took a pass from Jeremy and Sonia. Boston had two power play chances, but they didn't get the job done there. And Tewksbury doubled their lead in the second on Cook's second of the game. So two goals, a great state final performance from Matt Cook, 100%. Tewksbury goalie David Kahlberg did well. He only let up one goal for those first two periods, but Boston Latin just got hot at the right time. So, hey, congrats, Tewksbury runners up. I know they wanted to finish the deal, but second in the state, not so bad. All right, that concludes it for us. We're going to take a break for a week, come back, talk about spring season, get some spring coaches on. Actually, matter of fact, we already have our guest lined up for next week. It's going to be Zach Walensky, North Andover basketball, 1,299 points in the career, state semifinal last year, state quarterfinals this year. Very bright future ahead at Wesleyan. We'll hear all about that next week. Thanks for tuning in, and have a good one, everybody. We'll talk soon.